appearance was so badly marked he could not have been recognized. So disfigured, so beyond all human likeness that we hid our eyes.
Well, hey everybody, thanks for tuning into a new episode of Talk Back. I'm your host, Calvin Moore, and today on the line, we've got music artist Dustin Kensru, who is the former frontman of the band Thrice, but he is now releasing your first solo project, if I'm not mistaken, called The Water and the Blood. Thanks so much for joining us on the line, Dustin.
Yeah, no worries. It's confusing because I have another solo project, but of a different nature and sound, and there is much thought and discussion put into what we should actually be calling this, but we landed on just it being called Dustin Kensru, and so.
But we'll say solo debut on Mars Hill Music.
There you go.
All right, so there we go. Splitting hairs there, but yeah. So let's talk a little bit for people who don't know who you are. Obviously, you know, I said you're the former frontman of the band Thrice, or I think Thrice is just kind of on like a extended DC Talk like hiatus. Who are you? For people who don't know who you are and what your career is, kind of fill us in a little bit.
All right. I played in Thrice for 14 years. From the time we started when I was 17. And so I was singing, playing guitar, writing on the lyrics. And we were not a Christian band, weren't in the Christian scene, and was just kind of out there doing our music, but I was able to just kind of be real about where I was at various times with my faith and the things that I like to think about, which are generally kind of big picture questions of why are we here, you know, what's the meaning of things, life, death, all that kind of stuff. So wherever I was at in that, I was able to kind of talk through that in my lyrics and have, I think, a good dialogue with Christians and non-Christians on a lot of those things, which sometimes can get taboo or, I don't know, get people a bit riled up in a negative way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was doing for a long time. And then was getting hard touring all the time with, I got three little girls, and for that I started feeling called get involved in writing.
Dustin?
General, so, which is something I hadn't had a heart for a long time, and God really challenged me on that in a lot of ways, and showed me I was looking at it really selfishly and just kind of whining about problems that I saw there and not caring to step in and work to do something better. So that's how I kind of ended up at Mars Hill. I'm a worship pastor of Mars Hill Church, and I oversee all of Mars Hill Music, which is kind of what we do on Sundays in the church, and also the label that we have.
Okay. Now, I know Mars Hill, I've been following some of the stuff that goes on there. I'm out in Michigan, so I've never been out to Seattle, but I've been out to the Pacific Northwest earlier this year, but I was in Portland area. But, you know, Mars Hill is a pretty well-known name. You know, Mark Driscoll has lots of books. He's been on television. There are sites dedicated to loving him. There are sites dedicated to not liking him so much. But that church is pretty big and pretty well known and has multiple campuses. Is it daunting to be a worship pastor? Like you said, you're kind of over all the music and whatnot. Is it daunting to be a worship pastor of a church that size, I mean, it's more than just being at one location. It's, you know, all these other locations, making sure everything's going on okay there. Is that daunting for you at all?
Yeah, totally. I'm only here because I feel like God specifically called me to be here and work things to kind of put me in place here. So I pretty constantly feel in over my head, but I think that's a good thing a lot of times, and it's at least a good thing to acknowledge and not try to fight. So got a lot of very great people involved and around, and it's definitely not just all hanging on me. So we got I have a guy, John Dunn, who used to work at Tooth and Nail, and he kind of runs the label more and does some of the, he's able to even travel around on Sundays, which I can't because I'm leading every Sunday. So he's seen different people lead in their churches. And got a guy, Brian Eichelberger, who's our producer. So he's full-time in the studio making records. He's amazing. So good. We got a good crew and tons of great worship pastors and worship leaders in the various churches. And there's a really good community between all the leaders, especially. So it's awesome.
Okay. Now, it's interesting some of the things that you're saying about Mars Hill Music, because I remember when they first started, they were trying to release stuff for free, and I guess they realized that model wasn't working, so they pulled back, and now it feels like they've retooled things. I believe Citizens released a full-length album not too long ago, and now you're about to release a full-length album, and it sounds like there's some major work going on studio-wise here. What's kind of the trajectory of Mars Hill Music? Is it going to be all in-house bands from Mars Hill Church? Is it going to be all worship music? Are you guys looking to do popular music? What's kind of the angle of Mars Hill?
First and foremost, it's could be wrong about the free thing. I'm not sure. I mean, for a while I know you could download some of the EPs on Bandcamp, but I feel like the EPs were always for sale, at least the physical copies. Anyway, the main point is just we want to be primarily writing songs for our churches to sing on Sundays. So that's like the primary goal, music from the church and for the church primarily, to be singing together, not just kind of like that. I guess that's the best way of it, is just saying, first and foremost, we're trying to make music for the church to sing. And then beyond that, we want to help resource other churches with these songs. And then if there's stuff beyond that, whether that's, you know, the song's going to radio or something, like Citizens is doing really well on Air One Network right now. And, that's great, but it's not our primary focus. We want to be really careful that it doesn't become about something else primarily. We should have a big heart for the local church, both Mars Hill and beyond that, and want to be really digging in there.
Okay. So
as far as the studio, like we're making records because we have guys who are writing great songs for our church to sing, and we want to share those with the people in our church so they can listen during the week, and also with anyone else who wants to hear.
Okay. So let's talk directly about your project then. The Water and the Blood. First off, what's in the name? Why that particular name? What are you getting at there?
It is a line from an old hymn called Rock of Ages, which I kind of did a rewrite for on the record. And basically in the song, it's using it as a metaphor to speak about Christ's atonement through his blood and his cleansing. There's like a payment or a a justification and then like a washing and renewing in that. But I, it just got me thinking about it, the term, and in the Bible you see those images quite a bit, and water can represent like a washing, but it also has a lot of connotations as almost a metaphor for satisfaction. So Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, you know, if you would ask me, I'd give you living water, which you'd never, you would never thirst again. And he says, come to me, all you are thirsty, and drink. So there's this idea that that Jesus is the ultimate satisfaction that our soul is desiring and thirsting for. So I noticed that the record fairly evenly divided up into things that were focusing on this idea of Jesus as ultimate satisfaction, or this idea of Jesus as the one who gives us unmerited grace and justifies us. So I just liked it as this idea of those two images, those two liquids, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know. I tend to like things that are more iconic and have a lot of room for meaning to kind of dwell. So that's the long of it.
My next question for you, as I was listening to one of the songs, and I want you to pick a couple songs, but I want to focus in on one in particular. It's Not Enough is one of the songs on this album. And one of the lyrics is, I can walk the world forever till my shoes are full of blood. And I just, the first thing I thought when I heard lyrics like that was the deep writing of someone like Cormac McCarthy, who wrote The Road. And I've always kind of wondered, you know, why don't, in the Christian market, why don't we have writers who write like that, you know? And within worship music, there's not a lot of lyrics that get close to the lyrics of this album. You know, I think the closest we've gotten is You Give and Take Away, which, you know, it's like, okay, you know, like, do I really want to sing that? But this is one part art and, you know, one part worship. I think it's, you know, completely both. Are these songs that Mars Hill is singing, and what's been the reception? Because I love it, but I wonder, you know, okay, the people who are used to the passion worship and the Hillsong worship and the Jesus culture worship, are they ready for strong lyrics like what you're writing here?
Yeah, so that song is a bit of an exception, just because we traditionally have had kind of one song on a release that's a little bit less of a corporate worship song, a little bit more just here's us engaging these topics in an honest way, and maybe it's more of a private reflection kind of song, just the way, and it affects the way that, you know, so that song has a much higher vocal range because it's not meant to be really sung in that setting, and just the format of the lyrics themselves.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think you'll see a similar, there's not a shrinking away from some heavier subject matter and,
mm-hmm.
and in the record. So, like, for instance, God is Good is one where it basically looks at each verse as saying, even in the middle of when I don't understand where God is, I don't see him, I don't feel his presence, I don't necessarily believe that he's good in this situation. We can look to Christ in each of those things and see that he's actually the fulfillment and the proof of God's goodness, and that we see the Father's heart through Christ's actions in entering in and suffering on our behalf. So even though we don't have answers for exactly like why did a good God allowed this thing to happen. We have undeniable proof that he is good. And so I think that's probably the most, I think for people when they're going to be singing that song, it's going to be one of the more challenging but also helpful songs, because it can sound glib to say God is good all the time, God is good. But in the middle of a trial, that's a really hard thing to sing. And so what I wanted to do with that song is create a form where the truth of Jesus being that proof of his goodness is continually seen from different angles, and then you're allowed to respond with that simple truth of God is good all the time.
Okay.
What
is the role of songwriting in your church community? Because most churches, like my church, we tend to sing songs written by, you know, other people. Again, the Jesus cultures, the passions, all that kind of stuff. We're not writing stuff in-house. What role is playing music, writing and playing music, in the Mars Hill church community? Has that been formative for your church community?
I think a lot of it, there's a culture of, there's been good and bad things that I think Mars Hill has done throughout its history, and a lot of that's just come out of being in Seattle in a really unchurched city, traditionally reaching an unchurched demographic of a lot of young men who wouldn't be in church anywhere else, and it's a very artistic city, musical city, so they would have just bands would be getting saved and being like, well, like, we can play on Sunday. And so there's some great musicianship in general, but there's hasn't been certain guiding things in the past to where like the songs weren't very singable. They were super dark in the beginning, like all of them. So that's the pendulum has swung a bit with that, to where we have some dark stuff still, but it's definitely not the majority. So that's kind of where it all came from. So at this point, we basically sing hymns. We do a lot of hymn rewrites, and we sing our own stuff. There's every once in a while we do stuff from outside that, but there's various reasons for that. A lot of it's just that with the past culture we've had at Mars Hill, and with our theology, there's not a ton that either lines up like it sounds like it will work here, or if it does, the lyrics are not really lining up with where we're at. And not saying all the lyrics to all the songs are heretical, they're just
right.
Maybe not. I try to talk about, like, okay, these lyrics might not be heretical, but are they helpful? And so we have just a huge focus on the grace of God and his work in saving us. And so a lot of more modern Christian worship songs end up having a focus on our working and our love for God. And those can be really, I think, subtly condemning, because they're not telling you about the hope that's in Jesus, that even when you are struggling and you are wandering, like, God's pursuing you. So we want to have everything that we're talking and writing about coming from really heart of that God is primary in our salvation, and that there's a huge comfort and hope in that.
Okay, yeah, I've noticed that a lot in the lyrics of some songs that are out there, and it's kind of like, oh, this is just one of the things that you live with. I do like the fact that you guys focus on hymns, because, you know, let's just be honest, I think hymns are theologically stronger than a lot of the lyrics that are in worship today. So it's kind of like that weird balancing act of, okay, well, I don't want to go and just crush them and not sing any phrases whatsoever, but I like the question that you put out there. It's like, okay, it might not be heretical, but is it helpful? That's a very good question to be asking, especially in a position where you are a worship pastor. So it's not just, hey, let's put these songs together and make sure that it matches Pastor Mark's theme this Sunday, but the deeper questions of, okay, is this theologically true? Is this right? Is this helpful? Does this help our community grow in maturity? So I think those are good questions to be asking, especially in the space that you're in the city that you're in. I live in a very different city. I live in the city of Detroit, which if you've read the news lately, we're not having such a good time over here. But different kinds of questions are coming up, and so we're starting to write some of our own stuff, or trying to, based out of where we are, asking those same questions that you guys are. But anyway, where can people find your music? Because Mars Hill, as a label, is kind of new, and I want to wind things down here. Where can people find out more about Mars Hill Music and The Water and the Blood? Where can they pick it up when it comes out? Because I know right now when we're doing this, it's early September, and it doesn't come out till I believe October 1st. Where can people find your music?
You can go to MarsHill.com/music, and there'll be all sorts of stuff on there. And you can pre-order The Water and the Blood on there. There's a couple packages. There's vinyl and some other fun stuff. There is, and you get instant downloads of that as well, of two tracks.
Okay.
And then it's our EPs are just basically distributed electronically. I think you might be able to order physical ones through that same website. But the LPs we're partnering with Tooth and Nail at the moment. So they're distributing, or BEC, I don't know which, both maybe. Same thing.
Both same.
And, and they're distributing it. So I believe you should be able to get them wherever you can get their stuff. So I'm sure not as widely spread as some records, but it should be out there in some stores as well.
Okay, cool. Well, Dustin, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, you know, technical issues notwithstanding. But thanks so much for taking time to hop on the line and answer some of my burning questions, some of our burning questions, and we're really looking forward to seeing how well not just this project does, but also how well Mars Hill Music does as a label. I'm really kind of rooting for what you guys are doing. So again, thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you, brother.
Have a good one.
Okay.